peace in my day. If I can't help somebody else have the peace of God by setting the record straight that God left us, that Jesus Christ must be Lord and Master of the individual's life to bring them into a fulfillment of happiness and joy and peace and success, praise God, in this life and heaven in the life to come. We've got to warn and preach and rebuke and reprove. That's the way of life, so says the Holy Scriptures. If you hate reproof, the Bible said, he that hateth reproof shall die. You can't walk with God when you hate being rebuked by the Lord and the man of God. Lord, help us. Jesus wanted to help me, but I wouldn't let him. It's going to be the heart cry, the pathetic cry of that distress. As Jesus said, you'll be gnashing of teeth and weeping when you see people sitting up there in the kingdom at the head with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets, and you're thrust out because you didn't strive to enter in by making Jesus your Lord and Master and taking that yoke around your neck. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jeremiah preached the same message. In fact, the people of Christ, they thought he was Jeremiah because he wept so much. He asked them one time, who do men say that I am? So they say, you're Jeremiah, or one of them weeping prophets. That same old brother back there in the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, verses 16 and 17, God told him, said, go stand in the way and see. He was speaking through to the people of God through Jeremiah. He cried out, go, stand in the ways and see, and ask for them old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you'll find rest for your souls. What did that bunch, that church say? We will not walk therein. Also, he said, I've set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound, the warning of the trumpet from the man of God. And they said, we'll not hearken to the sound of the trumpet. And what did God say? Verse 30 said, reprobate silver shall men call them, for God hath rejected them. Rejected. Isn't that something for the Holy Ghost to stamp your soul? Rejected. Because you wouldn't take the yoke Jesus wanted to put upon you. He's right next to you. If you walk with a king, you got a yoke on your neck. And you're yoked up with Jesus. And you walk together. You work together. Hallelujah. You have fellowship that gives you strength. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy. It's not all that difficult. When you're walking with God, it's not that bad. It's when you're rebelling against God, the way of the transgressor is hard, says the scripture. Lord, have mercy sakes in this world. One of the greatest causes of people's rejection of taking the yoke of Christ upon them and submitting to his lordship and master, being master over their lives, is found in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You've heard it. If you've heard me preach, you've heard this a lot of times. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Make straight paths for our feet. So Christians that are all beat up, the devil has broken and maimed them and robbed them and blinded them. The Lord said, make your paths of your feet. Strong Christian, make your paths straight so that them people that are crippled, that have been maimed and robbed and left by the side of the road like the fellow the Good Samaritan helped, so that won't be turned further out of the way, but it'll be turned into that straight path and healed. And then he said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Can you imagine a Christian letting a root of bitterness destroy them? Many of them do. God, I've found more old bitter Christians. Some incident in their life that is almost unanimously accepted as being the rule rather than the exception in the Christian's life. The experiences, these experiences we have of confrontation that we don't like, of having sharp disagreements, or being mistreated sometime by a fellow member in the church, or the preacher they think has mistreated them. Or God, man, you ever met a Christian think God's mistreated them? Now you have run into something. Lord, God, have mercy. These Christians, they get filled with bitterness and resentment. And the Bible says here, lest there be any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It'll make you unclean, and it'll destroy you. It'll eat you alive with some old disease that you can't overcome. And it says, lest there be any fornicator, immoral person, or profane person, an irreverent person to the holiness of God. Many of the church today fill with irreverence toward the holiness of God. PTL and all that mess. All these televangelists and chunk, these big cathedrals and modernist Pentecostal holiness churches, so-called. Profanity. In other words, irreverence toward the holiness of God. As Esau was. For one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He didn't care about that birthright. See, that's your responsibility to live holy, to please God, to let him be your Lord and Master, to manage your life. He didn't want that. You know what he wanted? He wanted that Abraham's blessing that went along with the birthright. He thought he'd get the blessing, but not have the responsibility to live the life of Abraham. What did Jesus tell him, Pharisees? If you were Abraham's seed, you'd do the works of Abraham. You are the children of Abraham. You got his blessings. You're going to live like Abraham. Walk by faith. Yeah, but he sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. And you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Boy, that old word gets me every time I run into it in the Bible. The Holy Ghost got a stamp. And he comes along and puts it on the soul of a profane Christian. An irreverent Christian. Rejected! You know what? It's never removed. It stays indelibly imprinted in that soul. Says he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He tried to pray his way back through. When you get irreverent, profane toward God and the Holy Ghost, that's blasphemy. You're not going to get back. And the Bible said here, take heed to this, looking diligently, lest there be any fornicator. In other words, a tremendously sobering warning from the Holy Ghost here. You better beware, lest we become profane, irreverent, disrespectful of that which God stamps holy. Don't be disrespectful of it. Don't discount it. Don't cast it aside and try to neglect it or overlook it or reject it. If you do, you'll be like Esau. You won't want the responsibility of letting Christ be your Lord and Master and rule in your heart from his throne. You'll want to walk in your own ways, but you'll want to turn over there and get the blessing because you give a little bit of tithes and offerings to God. God ain't going to work it for you like that. Lord Jesus' sakes, help us. Here's a bunch over here. In the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, this is something else. It's in this chapter about tithes and offerings. I'm not going into that. But I want to get down after God says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing for your tithe and offering. In verse 13 of Malachi 3, God says to the church, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we've kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Hey, it don't look like we're getting any further along, any more reward, any more material blessings or gain than the crowd out here that's rebellious against God. And it says, here's what the church said, we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. They are until finally, like PTL, the leader gets in jail and the whole thing is shipwrecked and God destroys it. It goes on for a while. It's like they're taking the world. It's like the whole world's going after me. They're just pouring the